mic.
Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me the truth. Are you not mesmerized? Are chills not going up and down your skinny little spine?
What do you do all day? Not a goddamn thing. When was the last thing you did anything over there, that studio? Never. You never do a goddamn thing but sit around and bitch about women's genitalia. You guys are disgusting and need to get off the radio. Jake, you're fired.
Look in my eyes. What do you see? Come from personality.
Welcome back. Well, I should welcome myself back, actually, because I was not here last week. I was away and camping for my birthday, so I'm glad to be back. I missed all of you, all 12 of my loyal listeners. It was tough to be away, but anyway. We are back. Jen, as always, is joining me. Hello, Jen.
Hello. I hope you had a happy, happy birthday.
I did have a good birthday. We got to get a catchphrase for you.
Oh?
I was thinking, yeah, because I was listening to the Stern Show, and they have that, like, wrap-up show, and Gary, you know, the producer, when it's his time, they're like, joined as always by Gary, so he goes, hello, hello. It's not
no.
a great intro, but I think you can think about it, something to think about.
Thank you.
Because I was still awkward.
I'll
like, I have
on
to.
That.
What's that?
I said, I'll get on that.
Yeah, I'll be like, and now you're, let's just try one.
Okay.
And now, joined as always by Jen.
Yo, yo.
Yeah, no, let's, that, okay,
right.
we'll spend the week thinking about it.
Right.
When did you become all gangsta?
I don't know. I've been hanging out in the hood. I had a garage sale while you were gone. So.
I heard you fell and almost landed on your pregnant baby.
I did.
Guess,
I
on your stomach.
Fell. I did not fall on my stomach because I'm Taekwondo trained, and I don't know. I think mommy instincts kick in, and I rolled a little. I have
you
still
did,
cuts on my hands.
You did like a shoulder roll? Forward shoulder
yeah,
roll?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't do a full shoulder roll. No, I went to the side and used my hands.
It's so awesome to see like a pregnant woman break out ninja
moves. Yeah, Richie's like, did anyone see and help you? I was like, no, it was just me and the asphalt.
Nice. I'm writing that down because I just, you know, I like to write movie scripts on my own time. And by that, I mean like two sentences where I'm like, then, you know, tits, explosions, I add in to add in later. But I just had an idea. Pregnant martial artist. It's like this martial artist, you know, they come into her village or whatever, but she's pregnant through the whole movie. Like, John Woo did a shootout one time in a nursery where Chow Yun-fat was holding babies while shooting, which was pretty awesome, but they've never had a pregnant woman.
Huh.
Yeah, see,
well,
there we go.
That sounds perfect, especially since we can't even move our legs hardly and we can't walk without falling.
Well, you'll have to use the pregnant belly as a weapon.
Yeah.
You'll have to, you know, we'll have to figure out. Maybe you've given birth, but your belly hasn't dropped. You haven't dropped your baby fat, so you can, like, swallow a bunch of nails and, like, use your pregnant belly as, like, this sort of metal weapon object. Anyway, hey, we're rusty.
So
I haven't been
here
in a couple of weeks.
What did
What's
you
that?
Do? Helping you change the subject. What
Thank
did you do
you,
for
yeah,
your birthday?
Well, you know, you can't just come back and be awesome, you know. It's a little while, so this is a little bit of a struggle. I was good. Now, we went camping up in Lopez Lake by San Luis Obispo. My wife did such a good job. She tells me that I don't thank her enough, but I got in trouble for thanking her too much. That's my marriage. Getting yelled at. Stop saying thank you, and then 4 days later, you don't thank me enough. But we had about 12 people show up. Eli even showed up with his wife. Two Jews went camping. That's not very usual that you're stuck in the woods with Jews. But we had fun. You know, it was down. Alicia's friends are like camping pros, so it wasn't like a picnic table with food out. They had a kitchen area on the picnic table that they had sectioned off, and then they had a tarp over it that was enclosed so bugs wouldn't get in. They had little tarps over each plate. It was the real deal. We had stoves and cooked and all sorts of fun stuff.
We call that pamping, pampered camping.
It was. I mean, the reason I love camping, but I haven't got to go with my wife a lot because when I learned to camp, it was when my mom was married to Tom Arnold, and he was just fresh in AA, so pretty much if you drank coffee, you were a drug addict. So I got sent away to this program for 52 days in the woods because I think I got caught throwing a paper ball at a girl I liked in the eighth grade. I was a ruffian. I was a dangerous, dangerous child. But I got sent away to an outward bound rehabilitation center for crazy kids. And we didn't even have a tent. you got a sleeping bag, and you had to sleep out, and, like, you know, you'd feel crawling things on your face. I woke up one time, a scorpion was, like, tickling my cheek. There was no tent, and we had to pack up everything. We had to put it on our back, and we had to walk around. You know, there was no pamping. And then for 2 weeks in the middle, we had to have this 2,000-pound cart, wooden cart full of, like, all our camps. There were seven of us kids, and we had to push this freaking cart up through the Rocky Mountains for 2 weeks. And it's as horrible as it sounds. I lost a couple fingernails when it fell on me, and it was horrible. It was torture. So anyway, my wife's like, hey, we should go camping. That's what I think camping is. So I always scare her. I go, hey, we'll get a backpack. We'll go. I'll bring a knife. You know, we'll go hunting. We'll carry everything in. And she's like, no. We'll just put everything in the car, and then we'll park, and then we'll just get out of the car. So anyway, I finally gave in, and we did pamping, and it was awesome. I see the note safe word. So that means I'm talking too much. But you asked me how my frigging camping trip went. So there you go.
Well, we have something more interesting now.
What, my 4th of July? That's what you want to hear about?
No, we have Fishman on.
Michael Fishman's already in. I thought, oh, well, there you go. Michael, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, thank you. I was drowning trying to kill time until you called in. Jenna has produced the show entirely herself.
No, don't do that just because you probably fucked things up. Don't.
So for whatever reason, she told you to call in 5 minutes. Telling me that I have 5 minutes to talk is a mistake. I should be told, you have no time to talk. Get to the point. But anyway, Michael, I'm pleased to have you on. Actually, it's my celebrity guest. It's weird, since you and I have been friends for a long time. Don't take this the wrong way, but I don't consider you like a guest or, you know, someone to interview, because, you know, I talk to you pretty regularly, you know, for the most part. And I don't look at you as, you know, an actor or someone on the show. You're my bud. By the way, what are you doing tonight?
I actually am going to a charity event.
Oh, what are you really doing?
I'm going to a charity event. I'm going to 20 Wonder.
Oh. All right, well, we'll talk about that in a second, because there's a Sun and Silva fight.
I know.
My wife gave me permission finally to buy it, so I was going to invite you over. But anyway, sorry. So, but yeah, I guess you were like on Roseanne, and you're an actor and all that kind of stuff that I just don't think about. So you're actually going to be my celebrity interview. I'm going to pretend for the sake of this interview that I don't know you personally, okay?
Okay.
Because I think it'll make it
like
more interesting.
I don't know. You might cross the lines, and that might actually be more interesting for people.
Well, that's the next thing. You know, I want to push a few things.
Yeah, I really don't know him. I can ask him the questions you know. Why don't you ask him the dirty ones you want to know?
I can. I just don't, you know, if you're at any point, you know, because I've been told that I'm a little too timid with people. It really pisses me off that people say that. David Arnott, quote unquote. When I interview someone, I'm not here to make someone uncomfortable. I want to talk about things, but I'm not going to push you to a point where you don't want to talk. So if they consider that timid, you know, fine. But at any point, Michael, if I'm going too personal or if I'm pushing a road that you don't want to go, just tell me you don't want to go there, okay?
No problem.
So that time that you had the gay sex and no, just kidding. So let's get right into it. What do you say?
You almost gave me a rebirth of my career right there.
I know. Well, you know what? That's what you got to do, because I know, you know, like I said, we're buds, and I know that you've been having trouble finding acting jobs lately, and I think the problem is that you're not out of the closet.
Well, that's hard to do when I'm married. So.
Well, I don't mean really gay. I mean, you have to fake it in this town.
Yeah, well, that's like, remember a few years ago when somebody asked me if I would go on one of those rehab shows, and I said I don't have a problem? I mean, I have problems, but not.
We were thinking, you know, screw it. Let's just get you drinking now. By 2 weeks, you'll look all disheveled. There's all sorts of stuff. That's what you do. You go on celebrity rehab. That's the way. Or Dancing with the Stars. But anyway, I just want to ask you outright, Mikey, because we never really talked about it, but, you know, you were what age when Roseanne started?
I was 6.
You were 6 on the first time you taped, and a lot of people don't know this. I know this, obviously. The original pilot had a different DJ. I think everybody else was cast already. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think Sarah and DC and John Goodman.
Everybody did the pilot. And there was a kid named Sal Barone who did the pilot. And unbeknownst to even us, when I tried out for the show, they had done the pilot and sold the pilot. My parents actually thought this was for a pilot.
Oh.
And for people who don't know, a pilot is like the first test show to see if the network wants to buy more. And so everybody was confirmed, and they needed a new kid to play DJ.
Because my mother did not like the original DJ.
Now see, that's information. I never really got into that.
I remember the night. It was kind of fascinating because, my mom was just a housewife, and then she started doing stand-up and blah, blah, blah. So she gets this pilot. I was about 10 at the time. And I remember she brought this tape home because she'd been gone a couple weeks at Sony filming it. And she put in the pilot, and she watched it with my dad. And at the end of it, she got up, started crying, and threw the tape. She just took it out of the VCR and started crying. She said she hated the show. And I remember just at 10 thinking, this is so bizarre. This woman came from nowhere. I mean, I even knew this at 10. She was serving me a hamburger helper out of a box just a few months ago. And here she is getting this pilot, and it was not good enough for her. And I remember thinking, that is the crazy. Again, I really had that thought at 10. This is crazy. Anyone else would jump to this. But I think it's a testament to all the people on that show, yourself included, that maybe early on they knew that there was something special coming in and they had to push it. And one of the things she hated, besides the fact that it was Danny Jacobson that had made it really like Home Improvement and cheesy-like, was she did not like the DJ character. I remember her saying that. She's like, I don't like that kid. He's stupid looking. So then they went back to do the show, and you were cast.
Looked like her. he kind of looked like Roseanne. He actually looked like related to her, where the first boy did not.
Well, that's probably true. You do have those Chinese features. You have part Chinese in your blood, yes?
Yes. So I do kind of look like her. I guess early on, when her hair was really dark, people used to say that my mom resembled her in some ways. Not exactly, but light skin, dark hair. The right features.
So you're 6 years old. Had you acted before? Like, had you been cast in anything, or was this your first try at anything?
Well, I started going out on auditions when I was like 5, and the auditions for Roseanne were spanning 6 months. I mean, there was 6 auditions spanning 6 months, and I had done nothing. They wanted somebody with experience because they felt like the show had a chance, and the network wanted one kid, and the company wanted another kid, and Roseanne wanted me, and I'm one of the first things she won.
Oh, yeah, so that was like one of the first early standoffs was over you. Is that true?
Yeah, it is. I'm one of the first things she won. If anybody had any idea, I never would have got the job.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah, I know she fought for you. I kind of remember that. I was so young at the time. But so, and it went 9 seasons, right?
Yes.
So here's the thing I've always wondered. So it was from 6 to 15?
Correct.
So you also you were also in high school or junior high at the time, right?
Yeah, I had just started high school when the show ended.
But while you were on this huge show, like number one in America, unrecognizable, you were going to a regular junior high and elementary school, yeah?
Like public school?
Yeah, I went to public school. I went to public school on the days and weeks we didn't work. We usually worked 2 weeks on, a week off. So every third week I was back in regular class, and I usually went to regular school at least one day a week.
Mike, sorry to cut you off. Can you move closer to your receiver on your phone? Because I'm getting notes in the chat
that
I can't hear you. Is that better, everybody? Not really.
No.
Are you on your cell phone?
I am, only because I'm in transit back to the house.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a little better, whatever you just did there. So you were only showing up at school then 1 week out of the month. At like a public school?
Well, no. Yeah. What I would do is I would take all the work from school and I would take it to a tutor on the set. And usually about one day a week I was at regular school, and then a lot of times Friday mornings I would go back to regular school and take all my tests and then come to work and do the take night. And then 2 weeks on, a week off, and the week off I was back at regular school.
Were you cool when you went to public school because you were on like this big show, or were you like treated weird, or was it? What was it like for you?
It's interesting because when I started, I was in first grade, and I had gone to kindergarten with most of the same kids, so that I was just me, and that was my job, so it wasn't that big a deal. When I got into junior high and high school, I actually switched school districts, and it was a bigger deal.
Were like girls throwing themselves at you and all that kind of, like invited to all the cool parties and all that?
Yeah, and I was, and as you know, as my friend, that is so not the way to get to me. I am so not the, like, throw it at me kind of guy.
No, that's what I'm getting at, because, you know, I love you to death, but to me, you know, just if I were being objective and listening to the show, the most fascinating thing about you, in my opinion, is, I mean, I use this word very loosely because I do know you well, but you're normal. And you have
normal.
A work ethic. Like you were talking right now about the way kids saw you, that it was, you know, you were the same Michael, but it was a job. And, you know, I'm not going to go off on kids nowadays, but it's hard to find a kid that has, like, a regular job, like, you know, working at a McDonald's or whatever, to treat it like a job. It's, certainly you're not going to find a kid that's, you know, on a hit television show treating it like a job. I think that's just a one in a million kind of thing. And yet, this day, you still treat it that way. You treat every job you take like a job. I know your father's, like, old world European. We've had a lot of talks about him. And you just sort of approach it like... it's like a craft. It's a job.
I think Jake's in awe of this because he doesn't have much of a work ethic.
No, that's the next thing I'm getting at. I don't understand. What is that like? No, shut up.
I always loved it, but I was also my family was like that. That it was a job. I don't know. I guess I'm supposed to be a ego-filled, narcissistic pain in the ass. But I never bought into that aspect of it. It drives me crazy when other people do. You know, I see all the people who go out and drive over people in their cars, and people are throwing work at them, and I just want to go to work and do a great job and come back tomorrow.
Do you think that's why you're having trouble finding work now as an adult, that you maybe have too much respect for the craft?
I think it's unusual. I would accept that I'm unusual. I think that, to be honest, it's one of those things you just have to earn your way. I don't have any problem with that aspect of it. I got 9 years working on a great show.
Right.
So it would be really difficult for me to say that I didn't get a fair shot.
Right.
And I did things, you know, I stepped away when I got married. I stepped away when my kids were little. And I prioritized differently, you know. So I took a gap where I probably could have made big strides. I made strides in other aspects of my life, and now I'm catching up.
But you're also, you know, you're a very handy guy. You've worked, you know, building sets. You built sets at our studio. And by handy, I mean, like, you have carpentry skills. I don't know if you consider yourself a carpenter. I consider you a carpenter. But what I'm getting at is you also have real-world abilities, and you do get jobs doing those kinds of things from time to time. And I just, again, the fascinating thing to me is that you, again, I'm trying to make this so it doesn't sound like I know you, but fuck it, I know you. I don't understand how you can be the type of person that can be old world European, you know, a man's word means things, a handshake, and be in this god awful, soul sucking, you know, political kiss ass, psychotic, narcissistic mind meld that is Hollywood. How do you go into it and try, like I said, just keep your head down? And just work hard when that doesn't work.
It does work. Look,
it
where
does not
at.
Work.
He's not nowhere. He, you know, pays his own bills. I'm assuming, you know, he paid his way through school. He's a great father from what I can tell. So it doesn't not pay. He's just not going to be a piece of shit like Tom Cruise.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't say he doesn't get paid. It's just that he's, you know, if he, he gets paid doing a lot of things. Acting is not his main source. It's not your main source of income right now, right?
No, it's not. But
right.
I would love for it to be. I think, you know, acting is one of those things that it's the only profession I've ever known where you cannot be doing it, so claim it.
Right.
And it's one of those things where I guess for me, I have to be working for me to claim it. I want to earn it. I have kind of a... You know, my dad immigrated here, and I have a very old-school American value system from the standpoint of you earn what you earn.
Right.
And, you know, is it hard at times? Yeah, I see people get jobs, and, you know, you could get bitter about it, I guess, if you want. I see people get jobs when they do horrible things. But, again, I don't have to live that life and go home with them either. So, you know, it's what your priorities are, I guess. It's challenging. It's hard. You know, when I first got married, it was really difficult for me to understand. You know, when the show ended, I went on a couple auditions and things, and people basically told me I just needed to go away for a while. And that
great
was
advice. Did you fire that agent?
I did not, but we parted ways shortly after that. And then I went on an audition after I had gotten married, and I wore my wedding ring. And I did not know that that was a do not do. And I went to an audition and literally had an audition, went through the whole thing, and they started telling me, you know, this is a great project, we're really excited, you know, I hope that your schedule works out and that we can work out all the paperwork, and you have to keep these dates open because this is when we're going to start shooting and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, here we go, round two, I'm going right back to work. And then the woman goes, oh, why are you wearing a wedding ring? And I said, oh, I just got married. You know, I was all happy. I just had gotten married, and my son had just been born. I was super excited, and, you know, I was being normal, I guess, as you put it. And then the next thing I know, she turns to me. She goes, oh, I have this other part for you to read for. Take this out in the room and read it and then come back.
And then she locked the door.
Well, yeah, and I look down. I look at the part, and the guy was, like, 32 and, you know, grizzled, but like 6'4", blonde hair, blue eyes, and I'm like, I'm not getting that part.
Well, let me know, you got married at 18 years old. You got married on your 18th birthday, yes?
I did.
And you would have gotten married sooner if you could.
I probably would have, yeah.
Yeah. And you met your wife. Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, go ahead.
You met Jenny in high school?
You know, actually, I met her after I got out of high school early. I moved around in high school and moved in and out and kind of was trying to figure out what I really wanted to do. And I was taking care of my brother, and she was a daycare teacher at a school that my brother went to, and we met. And she somehow got suckered into getting stuck with me.
And you've been married how long now?
Almost 13 years.
Yeah, see, that's
wow. Cool.
And you have two kids. This is, again, this is the fish story a lot of people don't know, but you obviously made a decent living on the sitcom. I just like to talk, I have to boast about you. You paid for your sister to go through college, yeah?
Yes, I did.
And your brother, your little brother, you've supported in so many words. Trouble.
My sister, I helped her go to college. It was, you know, originally she was the one who wanted to earn money for college. She wanted to do commercials.
Right.
And then I was the one who ended up getting a job. And, you know, most of the money from the show went either to putting my sister through college, taxes, or a couple of bad investments that people made before I was old enough to be in charge of it. Mm-hmm. And so what I got out of it more than anything was the experience. And then after the show ended, I ended up taking care of, and I raised my brother for a few years, which luckily for me made me a little wiser, probably kept me from doing things that would have got me in more trouble, and gave me an opportunity to make really good mistakes as a parent before I had my own kids.
He's like a practice round. So are you financially okay now?
I got to work.
I know you have to.
I'm like everybody else. I have to work. You know, people assume that I'm well off or that I live in a huge mansion, and, you know, as you know, that's not the case.
I'm not saying anything. I mean, you have a roof.
I have a roof. You know, the one thing that I was able to do was put some money down on the place that we're at now a few years ago, so when I'm working between projects and jobs and things like that, I don't have to be insane.
But you have, you have a, office. Well, I guess it's a duplex or a townhome or?
Yeah, it's a condo,
So you're not living the high life, but you know, you're doing well. You got property.
Proportionately for somebody who got married at 18 and has two kids and, you know, is doing odd jobs here and there and working it out, I'm doing good. I don't have any complaints.
Because here's the thing. This is what I want to get at. You're the real life Benjamin Button. And what I mean by that is you have gone from 6 years old to making a lot of money, supporting, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm under the impression that your parents did well when you were working. Yes?
Yeah, I mean, both my parents worked, so I mean, I wasn't the sole income. But
they were in charge of the money until you turned 18.
Yes, but that's normal. But there are restrictions as far as how much you can spend and things like that.
But what I'm saying is you're making income. You pay for your sister to go through college. You're on your 18th birthday, you're getting married. You have two kids by the time you're, what, 19, 20?
Probably 21.
Right. So 21, you're married with kids. You've had your success. You made a lot of money. You had, like, what in this town is, like, the cushiest, greatest job you can possibly have. And now you're 22. We joked about this when we laughed at your – remember we were talking about you being a has-been at 22? But
yeah.
Here's this thing. You're now in your 20s and 30s where the rest of us are kind of finding our way and, like, what do I want to do with my life? You've already done that. And then it's marriage and the kids. Like, the next step to most of us, why I call you Benjamin Button, is you're basically living backwards in so many terms, is now in your early 30s – You've achieved everything personally and professionally. You've done it all. And now it's just kind of, I don't know if it's maybe trying to recapture it or just survive like the rest of us, but that's just a weird, weird upbringing that I don't think you really, I don't know if you've really even thought about it. I'm sure you have. But it's got to be a really weird perspective to have on the world when, you know, you've basically live the adult life first. And, I mean, in so many words, did you ever really get to be a kid? Like, did you have those, a kid life?
It's funny because I've done a lot of thinking about it. Benjamin Button's not a bad thing to kind of compare it to. I guess also I would say, I don't know if you ever saw that movie Jack with Robin Williams where he's the young guy who gets old.
Or Big with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I felt like that at times. I mean, there are definitely moments like that. I had that dual thing. When I had to work, I had to be professional, but I played at work. I was lucky I grew up with a lot of young adults who took a real interest in me, and a lot of those people made a huge impact on my life. And I played sports. I played baseball in a local little league, and I went back to regular school. So it was like kind of having a foot in each world. As odd as that sounds, you know, when I was late, nobody ever went to my parents or my set sitter or whoever brought me that day and said, hey, you know, you're 5 minutes late. They came to me. That was my responsibility to be at work on time. And I used to do everything as a kid. Like, I had a set sitter who used to take me. I used to set her alarm clock 30 minutes fast. And I would sneak into her room and set it 30 minutes fast because she was always late. And we'd get to work on time. And every day she'd come home and go, man, my clock's wrong. And she'd go in and change it back, and I'd have to sneak in and change it. And I guess in some ways, I think that's, for me to work, I have had to kind of recapture some of my youthfulness. Being a dad is you know, you got to be serious, and you have to set the right boundaries and the right priorities, and, you know, you're in charge of somebody else and their exposure to the world. But I think in the last few years, you know, going back to acting class, going back to the things that I like to do, I have, I'm a big kid at heart. I don't think I've ever fully grown up.
No.
You know, I'm the guy who climbs the jungle gym and climbs the tree or goes and tests the camera and climbs trees and jumps off second-story buildings. So.
And it sounds like you did whatever mattered to you most at that time anyway. That's what you were interested in. My sister went the same way without acting, but got married, had kids early, and now, you know, she's in her late 30s and gets to enjoy a little sooner than the rest of us. I'm in my late 30s and still starting out with babies. So it seems like, I mean, you'll be a little younger getting to enjoy your kids in their later teens.
Well, I mean, I always have said, and Jake can back me up on this, knowing me for years, Jake thinks I'm out of my mind, but I said if I was one of those guys working as an actor and I was on a good show and working every week, I would adopt a bunch of kids because I've enjoyed that aspect. You know, I've been coach, I've been dad, I've been the work 20 hours a day guy, and I think you find happiness where you are. You got to find things that you enjoy.
Well, again, like what you enjoy is. You enjoy being married. You enjoy being a dad. You enjoy coaching. I mean, you're a Little League coach. You're a fantastic coach. I don't know if you know this, Jen, but he was the coach for Jenny's oldest son, Ethan, 1 year, and T-ball, and he's a fantastic at all those things. And that's the question, and maybe I'm not expressing it correctly, but if you have those kinds of priorities, which I consider way more interesting than being on a show. I mean, we're going to turn the part over to questions in a bit. People want to ask you about the show, and I know that's interesting to our listeners and most people, but between you and me, I don't think the acting thing's that interesting. What I think interesting is that you've got your head on pretty fucking straight coming from that world. And not just that, it's that what motivates you, what inspires you, is being a positive role model to children. I think that's a rarity. I think it's very important. And I've sat you down when you've, you know, had your moments where you're like, I don't know if I want to do this acting thing. I've always tried to get you out of acting. And we always laugh about it because it's like, that's what I said at the beginning of the show. You have these priorities that are sound, that are a plus, and then yet you're in this world where that's weird. Like if you went into an audition and said, yeah, I care about, like you just said, no, I want to adopt and I care about kids, they're going to look at you like you're a weirdo. They don't understand.
Yeah. I would
well,
agree.
No, look at Angelina Jolie. I mean, she does it. There's a lot of actors that adopt.
No, they get,
I think it's
they
an
get
actor
kids,
thing.
But how many people really think she's a good mom? And how many people think it's not? You know, under their breath they won't say it, but everybody thinks that she gets a Malawi kid or Madonna gets a kid that it's like a handbag or an accessory. That's what I think, for certain. It's like, oh,
no,
they're trying to
like
remove some
them.
Guilt. What's that?
She seems like she's with them. Who knows? But all I know is Michael seems different. He can put a positive influence, even if it's not as huge as someone like Angelina and Brad Pitt. But, you know, he can put a positive influence in that world. It needs it. Fuck.
That's what I'm saying. I say get out of this fucking world. It's a horrible place.
I know.
Well,
I
maybe
know.
He wants to help add beauty to that horrible
yeah, but
place.
See, again, this is where the interview is going to fail, because I'm his friend. I'm talking about you like you're not here, Michael. And it's like literally having this beautiful friend that's like, yeah, I just love life. And it's like, you know, I really want to be a drug dealer. And you're like, no, don't get into drug dealing. You got your shit straight. You know, you could open a club, you know, do all this stuff. You can help kids. No, but I really love being in the drug dealing world. How would you respond?
Well, that he
well,
made
funny.
It 9 years without turning into Lindsay Lohan. So
well, he's a little wacky.
I'm wacky. I don't claim. I never claimed normal. He claimed I was normal, and he knows how dangerous that.
Yeah. Well, I was just trying to ease you into the interview before I really told people how screwed up you really are.
No, I think it's funny because, like you and your mom in particular, has always tried to get me to get out of the business. And I think people who know me have always told me, you know, I always hear you're so nice or you're so together or. Oh, you're smart. You should get out.
Yeah, but it's true.
Always sounds good. Yes, but I like this business. I, in spite of all of the negative sides of it, some of the not so glamorous, dirty parts of it, I guess I liked the parts that other people didn't. I like showing up on set. I like the pressure's on. I like that. You know, there's 2 minutes. We got one shot at doing this scene, and either you're going to make it or you're going to break it. And I love that if you show up at a cancer hospital, even though all I do is do a job that more people see and is not as important as some of the other people's jobs, I mean, firefighter, doctor, policeman, every one of those jobs is far more important for society. But if I show up for 5 minutes and they've seen me on television, all of a sudden for 5 minutes they forget how sick they are.
Right.
You know, and I guess...
You keep it up, Michael. Don't listen to Jake and Roseanne or anybody else, because you can make
no,
a difference that way.
No,
but
I'm,
you, I mean, also in the police world, I know you're interested there. I mean, there's other ways. Kids light up for them, too. Not adults, but
there
kids.
There are. And, you know, like Roseanne has been very supportive. It's just... I think when she gets frustrated at times, you know, people who love you want to spare you from the bad things in this world.
Right.
And you know, I see that as Jake doing the same thing right now. He's trying to do an intervention. He's trying to save me from the negative aspects of it. And I love that. It means that he cares.
But you don't do the Hollywood parties. You don't do the things that lead to
that's my
all
point.
Of that.
That's what you have
yeah.
to do. That's the part that no one talks about. Like, those backroom parties, that's where the casting's done for the most part. It's like any business. Actually, all businesses are like that. It's who you know.
Well, maybe he can be the next Reading Rainbow guy. Then.
Yeah, I mean, dude, if Fish got a, you know, if you got a gig, man, you know me, I'll be right there, anything to do to help you. It's just, you know, you got such a good heart. And you're, it's like, he's not bullshitting. For people listening, this is not the typical actor bullshit, like, oh, I want to go to hospitals and help kids, and everyone's like, yeah, whatever, and doing that jack-off symbol with their hands. He means it, and it's a rarity. You find people like that, and it's like, there's one place, there's a factory where you go to crush souls, and it's this town. That's all. I'm not going to do it anymore. Michael, I'm going to let other people ask you questions.
Yeah,
about
I have a few text questions that people are sending in, pretty random.
Yeah.
But
ahead.
Someone from Kentucky was asking if Michael auditioned for Magic Mike.
I did not. The invitation to audition for that did not come up.
No one's buying it, Mike.
No, I didn't get that one.
No, you didn't show enough ab muscles. I, however, did audition for Magic Mike. For those of you who don't know.
Yeah, and they realized that the audience would vomit.
Okay, next question.
Next one was from Indianapolis. They want to know where your father immigrated from.
My dad was born in Shanghai, China, as was my grandfather. And then he moved to Israel when it became a country in 1948. And then he moved to the United States.
Was he a Chinese Jew? That's mine.
he is.
Wow. That's
Chinese is the proper term.
Well, my husband's family's Chinese, and his mom's raised in Mexico, but full Chinese, and I call her Chinakin.
I didn't know your dad was Chinese. Well, he's not actually Chinese blood, is he? Just partially.
He is partially.
Yeah, he's also got, there's some German
Russian
in there, too. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's a mix. I'm a mutt of mutts, and I think that was good for me because it made me... It made me feel like I wasn't special in any way, shape, or form. It made me more accepting.
Yes. Mutts are the all-American kid now.
All right, next question.
The last one I have here, I guess it's for you, Jake, or Michael, but everyone always wants to know this question, is where is the Afghan on the back of the couch?
That's a great question. I have
it's
no
funny.
Idea.
People keep asking that, and... I heard originally after the show it was supposed to go to the Smithsonian, but somewhere along the way it didn't make it there. So probably somebody's sitting on it and has it in hiding.
I think Tom sold it for an 8-ball. That would be my guess.
I was saving that joke for a Roseanne's roast.
Sorry.
Yeah,
mom
I was
going to
ask if you had an honorary roast joke for your faux mama.
Oh, I would love to do that. You know, again, I don't think they're going to. They're not going to pick me. I got plenty of things to say, you know. I just worry she won't talk to me afterward.
You know, I want to try and get myself on that roast, too. Maybe if we did a twofer, like you and I went up there and roasted her together, and maybe they'd let us get three or four out.
Well, she already hates me. You guys can just feed me your jokes, and I can say them.
No. I'm telling you right now, I have a distinction that has now been passed to Jake. I was previously the most fired person by her.
Yeah.
Over the years, and now Jake has taken that title.
I have. It's a proud, proud achievement.
Yeah, did
that's
you
when
two
you know
actually, like, grow up together? Did you and Michael, Jake and Michael, did you two grow? Are you close in age? How far apart are you?
No, I'm, what,
you
3 years
want me to
older than
you? Yeah, he's 3 years older. Early on in the show, the family wasn't around a lot. You know, like he said, there was wackiness, especially when Tom came in with them going to, you know, camping and all these different places and this school, that school.
Yeah, we were
but
mostly locked
Jake
up in a facility, so we didn't get to tour the set too much.
Jake and I,
we didn't get a
laugh,
day pass.
Everybody laughs and we cry.
Yeah, I know. Story of my life. No,
me
and Michael.
From a locked up generation.
Well, no, I was a really shy kid, and Michael's actually shy. And no, I don't think we really said a word to each other until, it actually wasn't until the show ended, and then my sister started talking to Michael again, and his wife, and they were having barbecues. So it wasn't until, I don't know, 7-8 years after the show that I actually like had a conversation with Mike. It's the truth, which is hysterical now that I think about it.
It is really funny, and we would bump into each other several times a year, and we'd see each other kind of across the stage.
Yeah.
But, you know, 3 years is a lot. When you're a teenager, 3 years is a lot, and then when you grow up and you're an adult, 3 years is nothing.
And that's true. Michael was cast, you know, to basically play me, and I was just always offended that they didn't get someone better looking, so I just couldn't really look at him. It just hurt my feelings too much.
Very
I should have got Leonardo DiCaprio, I'm thinking. Leo was good.
We didn't become friends until a few years ago. They didn't have bald 9-year-olds.
Yeah. Well, then they're missing out because that would have changed television forever.
I have a question from Michael's radio girlfriend.
Ooh,
who's your radio girlfriend?
Who's that?
Katrina. Katrina, I believe.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
What would you do to your radio girlfriend if you were in person?
I want to watch him feel this because his wife.
Oh,
listening.
Silence.
Yeah. Are you? Are you, what did you say, Jake? You
gonna watch? I said I want to watch your answer because your wife's listening, and he's old school.
I am old school. I would be limited, but I like to have a good time as long as I don't break any boundaries.
He would probably.
That wasn't super old school. There was a little man behind that.
That was. I was a little surprised. I thought he'd say, "Well, she's probably a polite lady, and I would buy her dinner and kiss her on the cheek." He's trying to get a little extra.
I was that gentleman guy, but that doesn't go very far.
No, it doesn't. Katrina also, you know, she's going to go full tilt, too. You can't, you know, she's on, you know, what do you call it?
Katrina
is fine.
When she gets her sights set and you can tell she locks on, it doesn't really matter what you say or do. She's going to do everything she can to have you. That's my impression. We got some callers. Do you want to talk to some callers, Mike?
Sure. I'm down
Someone's
for
my anything. My intervention of you. Kylie is on the air. Kylie, are
I think
there?
It's Callie.
Callie, too, either way. It's written as Kylie.
I don't know if it is. Yeah, it does look like Kylie.
Kylie, are you there?
Hi, guys.
Oh, it's Carly.
Oh, Carly.
Yeah, I tried to tell Ellie that. I was like, it's Carly, not Kylie.
Who'd you try and tell that to?
Ellie.
Yeah,
well, there's the first problem. It's Eli. You two, I would love to have you two on the air talking to each other. Ellie and Kelly. All right, so it's Callie?
Yeah, I should call it next week.
Carly.
Kylie and stuff.
How are you? Do you have a question for Mike?
You? Yeah, I just wanted to say hi to Michael and say, you know, that I'm glad, you know, it's one of those stuff that probably was, and I admire your talents and, you know, how you are after all these years.
It's
well,
pretty
I
special,
appreciate
right?
That.
I'll let him. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. Thank
yeah,
you.
And I wanted to tell you that it's me behind the Glenn Quinn fan page.
Oh, it's you. Oh, we love you. You've been so
has,
sweet.
Why
did
yeah,
it was you?
She disguised herself as a man for a while. I thought she was a man on Glenn Quinn. Is that it?
No, the
yeah,
Glenn Quinn
always, like,
thing
a gay
is wonderful.
Man. I was like, what?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I was trying to spend it, Jen. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, Glenn Quinn. I mean, that's a terrible, terrible story. I don't want to buzzkill with that. But yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
Glenn was a wonderful guy. You know, and I don't think anybody really knows 100% the whole story. I just, you know, Glenn was one of those guys. He lit up a stage. He lit up a room. He came across camera that way.
And I can totally tell that, too, by the YouTube videos and the interviews and stuff. I can totally see that, the light of the room, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, his family is wonderful, and I miss him quite a bit. He was one of the big awarenesses in my life. When he passed away, it was one of those things about, you know, if there's things you really want, to go chase them. And I think that's the best way you can use tragedies when they come is kind of as a reminder in a time where you kind of reevaluate things or the things that you're not committed completely to, and you need to reevaluate what's important.
Yeah, and right in the beginning when I did the page, I got quite a bit of bashment. Like, well, he's a druggie. He didn't know what he was doing. Like, who cares? He's a great actor. He was talented. I don't care about the drug part. I'm just focusing on, you know, when he was on Roseanne, when he was on Angel, when he was on Covington Crash, stuff like that, you know?
Well, it's a weird thing. Like, if someone dies of a drug overdose, that they, everyone just writes them off as, like, you know, a waste. And it's, you know, everyone that knows someone that's had a problem with an addiction of any kind, it's like they're a normal person. They just got some baggage. And Glenn was a sweet kid, but I don't want to. But this is buzz killing me for real. I'm going to change this. I'm getting depressed. Michael, she did say, thank you for the call.
I laugh when shit's depressing.
I know. Jeez, Carla. Way to buzzkill. She did say you were a great guy, Michael. She's not on the line anymore. So that's the real last thing we got to get. People really think you have your shit together. We did a really good job this last 45 minutes.
I know, man. We've convinced everyone. Not just for the phone call.
Because tell me the truth, because I can't end a show without getting into psychological investigation, telling everyone that they're dysfunctional, screwed up. Correct me if I'm wrong. Everybody that wants to be an actor on some level has some psychological issue, yes?
I would say that people who like attention and people who usually perform for others, usually that there is a reason for that.
Right. So what's your reason?
You know, it's funny. I think mine is it's the best job in the world. I know that that is going to burst your bubble, and it's not some deep, dark, need-to-be-seen thing. I think I could work on a show that people don't see that much. I would be perfectly happy. I just love doing it. And maybe – I know you hate certain aspects of the way people behave, but – there's something about being in a creative environment. It's way better than when I'm doing manual labor and building a set or doing construction or working bail bonds or moving large items or trying to, you know, figure out somebody else's mess and try to fix it for them.
So what about doing, like, indie stuff? What about, like, some small-paying indie films or things like that that people actually do appreciate the craft?
I'm all about it.
Yeah. Thing you gotta understand, Jen, is like it's like again, you do the whole it's creative and stuff, and it's great. But if the goal is to get work, I mean, those things are great, and it's possible that they could lead to things. But there is, it's a business. It's a business first. It's creative is the independent world, and writing and those things. Mike's also a great writer, and it's like you have those outlets. But when you get into acting, it's a craft and it's a job. And like any job, this is really the thing I want to say. Everybody always assumes acting's like this easier world, or you get in there and you're in the game. It's the same thing. There's the same politics you have in every other office.
Yeah,
exactly. So
it can be ugly. There's times where you go in and it's ugly, and they ask you to compromise your values. And there's days when you show up and nobody has any idea what they're doing, or the pressure's on, and you know if you know this show is not good, you get canceled next week.
Right.
Or there's the day that you work on a show, and I've had this experience where you know you do an episode of a show, and everybody loves you, and everything's good, and they're like, well, we should make this a recurring character. And then, you know, Thursday of the week, news comes down from the network that this show is being canceled. And so now you have to finish in the next day and a half where everybody knows they're looking for a new job. And that what they're doing right now will never see the light of day. It's going in a vault somewhere, and no one will ever know. You know, and, you know, it sucks. But, you know, that also is part of the deal.
So I'm not going to talk you out of it.
Wow, winning.
Stop trying to kill people's dreams, Jake.
It's not about killing. You know what? I don't think Michael's honest about what his dream is.
No, I know. You love Michael, and you're trying to protect him. I know.
No, I think, Jake is honest. And you know, one of the things that Jake does really well is Jake is beyond honest. He is straightforward and gives you the way he sees it. You know, by the way, I didn't get to say hi to Eli. So as a side note,
hey, Mike.
Eli, good to see you.
I told Eli 10 minutes ago, you guys don't understand the stuff that goes on behind the show. I read Eli a note, I'm going to put you on, right? Then I put him on. Remember a few minutes ago someone was just chewing?
Him.
A couple of months ago I put him on, and he left his mic open, and the gardener showed up, and there was a lawnmower going on for like 10 minutes. That's Eli, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, Eli.
Hey, thanks, Jake.
Hey, we got another caller.
You were being brutally honest there, Jake.
I will say this. The acting thing is very hard from that standpoint. Of they say somewhere between 6,000 to 8,000 people come here every month to be an actor.
Right.
And the average stay is about 6 months. And so I look at it and I go, gee, some guy who came out of nowhere and grew up in a family of middle-class people, I somehow cheated the system and got 9 years. I'm ahead.
You are.
You know,
oh, that's
absolutely
true.
And you know, Jake also neglects the fact that I wouldn't know people like him if I hadn't stumbled into this.
Even more reason to get out of it, because look who your friends are.
Yeah.
You're in trouble. Hey, we got a caller, Tina from Wisconsin. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing, Jake?
I'm doing good. You got a question for Michael or for anyone?
Well, actually, it was kind of a comment when you guys were talking earlier about that actors, people that want to be actors have psychological problems.
Yeah, let's get into this. Now we're getting
yeah,
good.
I disagree with that because I just think that they actually have something to say, and that's why I appreciate people like Michael and Roseanne that, you know, are on TV because I don't think, you know, I mean, I think we're all messed up. I don't think you have to be an actor. I mean, you could want to be a janitor, and that's pretty fucked up, you know. I mean, who wants to clean public toilets, but...
No, that's a good point.
Thank you.
Also,
Jake, that's one for my side. Thank you, Tina.
Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome, Michael.
Well,
go.
Again, if you have something to say, you know, there's a lot of mediums to do such a thing, and this being one of them. Writing, you can nowadays you can blog, you can email, you can go on Twitter. I mean, there's no shortage of avenues for people that want to say something. If you want to be in the limelight. And be like, ooh, I want fame. And to the point, again, like I always say, there's always exceptions to the rule. And I throw things out there and people take it way too serious. Not saying everyone that's
nobody
an actor
takes you
up.
Serious. Come on.
I know what drives.
Hold
on. Wait. Hold on. Time out.
Okay,
all right, as your friend, we have what is it, 10 minutes?
We have
oh,
8
no.
minutes.
Okay.
We're going
minutes.
Over because I have some shit I got to say. But go ahead.
All right, Jake.
Let's go.
So which one do I want? It's time to be brutally honest.
Let's go.
I won't get this anywhere else.
Let's do it.
Am I seeking fame? Am I seeking attention? Am I trying to be what? What do you see as my friend and the host of the show?
I think you, for the most part, have your head on pretty straight. I've always been honest with you. The part of you that if I could go with a magic wand and fix you, like I need to do that with all my friends and everyone I know. That's my... whatever reason. That's my baggage. I like to fix people. I like to help. I would say you are trying to prove something to someone that is not you. And I think that's a huge driving force. And again, dysfunction is not necessarily it's a bad thing. It causes havoc. But to be successful, it's usually, for the most part, a necessary tool. That's why people are successful. They'll work through the night. They won't stop. There's no happiness. There's no like, hey, you know, my life's pretty good. The Bill Gates and the actors and the big people out there, everyone looks at them as like they're smarter or better. I'm just trying to point out those people are just people that don't stop. There is a hole that is not filled for these people, and they have to constantly work at it. Again, nobody here is perfect. Nobody here is healthy. I have my issues. I'm just saying actors in particular usually are trying to prove something to somebody. You always hear the story of an actor when they get famous. They go, oh, I was a nerd in high school, or, you know, nobody liked me. And they all have that same pattern. And if you start profiling them, which I do in my spare time, you'll start to see a pattern, which is I never felt good enough. I never felt like I did a good enough job. And that or people didn't value me enough. And that's what keeps them up at night. And that's why they're doing mirror time. That's why they're memorizing lines. That's why they want to be famous. For the most part, so one day they see the person that was mean to them when they were a kid, and they turn on the camera, and the TV, I'm sorry, they turn on the television, and there you are. And it's a big fuck you. A lot of times that's the case. I'm not saying that's way for Michael or anyone, but a lot of times that is really the case. And, you know, it's beautiful, you got money, but then that's why actors always start turning into drugs, or their marriages never last. Or you always say, wait, you're rich, why aren't you happy? Because that whole time they were working so hard to get famous and prove everybody wrong. They weren't working on themselves. They weren't prioritizing correctly. So it's like there's this common thread in this town that you're normal. You just want to be an actor because you have something to say. You get famous, and all of a sudden the fame makes you crazy. That's the story everyone tells. Every E2 Hollywood story is, oh, one day you got famous and now you're a fucking asshole. I'm here to say it's not that case. You have to be fucked up a long time before then. And what happens is when you finally get the money, when you finally get the fame, when you finally have that fuck you moment, you realize it's not really that powerful. There's so much more you miss. There goes the drinking and booze, and there's Dr. Drew, and you're living in a hospital.
I would say we have a mutual friend, Vince, who puts it brilliantly, that money is not the defining thing. Money is a magnifying glass. It's a accentuator. So if you're messed up, you're going to be messed up with money and do bigger messed up things because you have access to them.
Right.
I think we both agree with that.
Of course.
I would say if you're not enough as you are, then you're never going to be enough. And I think some of that I think I had to learn, and some of that, you know, you learn both. You never learn everything the easy way. I think I learned a lot of that. You know, this morning I went and watched one of my kids play. And when you go and you watch your kids and they do things, there were things that I would like to help them work on. But at the end of the day, this morning I was just dad, and that was enough for me. I wasn't even coaching. And the days that I'm a coach, I take great pride in that role of my life. And I try to be the best coach I can be. And hopefully somewhere down the road I'm going to get to be an actor and do a project that I really enjoy. You know, I mean, like the project that we all wrote together that we talked about doing, the short, I still think that that's a brilliant idea. And I think
of course
the message of it's right. And I think I don't see anything else like that. And those are some of the things that draw me to still being here.
So you don't think there's any part of you that's trying to prove something?
You know, I think I used to try to prove other people wrong. You hear all the time when you're in this business, especially growing up in it, you're not good enough or you're not that good or anybody could do that. Or, you know what, I'm okay with that. If some of these people don't like me, I'm not going to please everybody.
Of course.
And I spent years trying to please almost everybody, and I spent years, especially like I think it's normal for kids to try and please their parents. You know, I, as a young man, was really trying to, I think, in many ways, show my dad I had grown up. I can do this. I can do everything. And in a lot of ways, more important for me now is I'm really happy with where I'm at. I think if people go, oh, well, you know, he started off so high and he's really petered out. I mean, I get the joke. I was talking to Lacey Chabert. We met for lunch, and she was on Party of Five.
Mm-hmm.
And we were having this conversation, and it was a joke. And I said, you know, it's funny, the people who really want to make me angry or try to hurt my feelings say things like, oh, you know, you're washed up at 30. You know, I've done things in my life that are fantastic. And some of them I can't even explain to my kids. They were so amazing. You know, I got to play in a major league stadium. As a kid who loves baseball, that was awesome. Throwing out a first pitch at a game, or, you know, I got to meet a couple presidents. Look, for a guy whose dad immigrated here and a mom who grew up on a farm poor, I've had a pretty damn amazing life, and I can't really complain. And if the rest of my life means I got to work medium to average size jobs and try to be a good dad and just make good kids who hopefully chase their dreams, I think I can handle that. I don't really need much more than that.
That's a great attitude.
Winning.
And you are now at the point when you say, and I don't want to get too deep into anything, but you say you don't care about what other people think, and you're at the point now where you're not trying to impress your dad or anybody else. That is true. Yes?
Yeah, I think it took me a really long time. I think it's normal for people to try to, I never felt inept in society, or I wasn't that guy. You know, I got teased for things on the show,
right. But
I always had such a good, the positive always outweighed the negative for me. I always had such a good side of it. You know, I have people from the show, you know, you and I have a relationship that we probably never would have happened across each other.
Right.
Your mom and I have a on again, off again, love relationship. And it's funny because I see value in her that I don't know that other people have gotten to see. And I have a relationship with a lot of people in this business and crew people who took an interest in me who didn't need to. And I think maybe as a coach, that's my way of taking an interest in other people's kids that I don't need to, and trying to help them in a way like I was helped.
Beautiful.
So you could say I do that to pay it forward or to, you know, to be a part of what I got. And maybe I am doing it partially for those people who helped me.
Well, I just know
that.
But
I don't see that as negative.
Your dad's a little wacky. I know that. We've had those talks. And that's what I'm getting at. Fuck the town. Fuck the business. I mean, acting is a job. So, you know, everyone has good years and bad years. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that particular relationship. You know, it defines you in a lot of ways where, because I have a similar one, and it's like, you know, there's a certain way to do things that I've been taught, and I have to do it this way. And if you're constantly told that, and it's to somebody who's really maybe more strict than you are, it can cause a lot of issues. So I'm happy to hear that's better.
I can't say that I'm not ever overzealous. You know, every once in a while I yell at my kids, and I think to myself, okay, that was not the best way to go about it.
Right.
I can be too strict at times. I mean, I feel like I'm in confessional, but I feel like somebody should
be
like...
Well, you're not talking to a priest, so...
absolving me of my mistakes. I've made plenty of mistakes over the years. You know, I think in the last few years, more than anything, losing Glenn, watching people not do the things that they really love, my wife got sick, I have... two kids that are probably better than I deserve. When it's all said and done, I'm okay with where I'm at. Is it fancy and does it make people stop and look? I mean, my car is 12 years old and beat up and it needs to be replaced, and sooner or later that's going to happen. If somebody doesn't pull up next to me and say, hey, nice car, I don't have a problem driving the average car and just chasing what I want. But I don't want to look back and go, I wish I had laid it on the line. I wished I had taken chances when everybody else told me that, don't follow your dream, move out of this business, go do something else. You know, I could be selling insurance or mortgages to people, but I would hate myself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to sell somebody a product I don't believe in. That's why I don't pitch everything under the sun. I'm not on Celebrity Rehab because...
Well, we can work on
that.
That
I can't,
a few more of these conversations will be there.
It's not that I can't drink or whatever.
oh, no, you can't drink. We're going to tell that story next. Last time I got fish and
Asians
puke
can't
all
drink.
Over
Asian,
the...
Asian blood has
yeah.
issues with alcohol.
He's definitely got Chinese blood because he was out. He puked all over... I ordered pizza and he puked all over the plate next to the pizza. And me being good friend... I ate the pizza while I helped clean this.
Oh,
that's what it's happened. But anyway, we have news and top 10 to get to. Do you want Michael here for the top 10, right, Jen?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's get to it because we're running over. And
right.
Fallon, I read your comment.
Oh,
you're
good
you're
for
Thanks.
You.
Yeah, before Jake gets hurt by his wife, let me get to the top 10 quickly.
Yeah, my wife's waiting for me.
So me and a couple fans came, of both of you guys, got this together, but it's very special. Top 10 reasons Roseanne wishes Michael was her son instead of Jake.
Oh, no.
I could have written
number
this.
10.
Jake Michael would have written a better one.
Probably, but his would have been, like, needed therapy after. Michael didn't give her stretch marks as Jake was an 18-pound baby.
I was 10 pounds, and she had stretch marks ahead of time from donuts.
Number 9. Michael was an extra special talent, but Jake was just special ed.
That's true.
Number 8, Michael
no.
always stuck to the script. Jake rambles retardedly.
No.
That's true.
No.
Number
That's
7, every so often the DJ masturbation episode is shown as a Roseanne repeat. Jake just repeatedly masturbates. Number 6, because when Michael was acting like a brat, it was just acting. Number 5, Michael does not fornicate with cats.
I do not fornicate with cats.
Number 4.
He has
Michael
more animals than I
do,
so watch it.
Michael knows when to shut the fuck up. Number 3.
That's
Michael
not true.
Michael doesn't eat Roseanne's candy stash, but it appears Jake does.
A fat joke. Number, nice, Jen. These are all Jens, I can tell. These are Jens.
Whatever, she already blocked me. Number 2. Michael matured into a polite young man during his 9 years on the show. Jake has the maturity of a 9-year-old.
Oh, no, I swear and I curse, especially the later it gets.
He keeps defending you. Last but not least, the number 1 reason Roseanne wishes her son was Michael instead of Jake, she always wanted a son without movies that didn't need to share her bras.
How many of those did you write, Jen? I know all the fat ones were yours.
You know what? I probably got help with half, you know, rewording a little here and there. And
you know,
I
just love the work I do on this show, Michael Fishman. You know what? Let's have a moment here. I fucking talk about what's real and try and help fucking people get over their bullshit. And then the constant movie joke and he rambles. It's so upsetting. I can't help people if they can't, if they don't want to be helped. You know what I'm saying, Michael?
I hear you.
No,
thank
it's
you a lot.
Being the smartest
that
guy.
That was all out of love. That was all out of love,
yeah,
for all three of you.
Well, I can take it. I'm not really that upset. Although, one day I'm going to find the right audience that listens to my genius. It'll happen. I'm just going to stick that in. Yeah, Michael, don't you want to tell me to get out of radio, actually? Don't you owe me the favor?
Actually, no, this is the funny thing is I actually like what you do on radio. I
thank
like
you.
that you're direct, that you're honest. And I think it's one of the things that, ironically, it's one of the things that people were drawn to about your mom. And I think that you do as good a job, and I think you're fantastic.
Well, thank you. I didn't talk through that because I'm going to take that sound bite, and it's going to be in my opening now.
It's all yours. I'm in every word of it.
Well, that's what good friends are for, everybody. Hear that? That's called support, bastards. Fallon.
Oh, yeah. Well, the opposite of what you did. You just totally killed his dreams, and then he turned
around. I didn't
kill
his dreams. I said, this is the thing. I get told, like, being negative. I'm fucking the most positive guy. I said the guy's got tremendous fucking priorities. Fuck off. Just fuck off, everybody. He's got tremendous fucking priorities. He cares about being a dad and kids. And being a good husband, you know, from where I come from, that's, you win. You win the fucking game of life. That's fucking, everyone gets depressed because I fucking shoot down acting. Acting's fucking lame. It's fucking bullshit. Be a good goddamn dad and husband and be good to your kids. That's what you should be fucking doing. And that's what Michael does better than fucking most. And I love that about him.
Oh,
and that's all I'm
for
saying,
you
fucking assholes.
I feel better. I will say this. You know, Jake takes a lot of abuse. And it's funny because Jake probably will be married longer than anybody because his honesty is how he addresses people.
Yes.
And he's even more honest in person. It's that people will never believe that. But
I know. I'm such a
well. That's why we refuse to meet each other.
Yeah. Well, that's not why. That's not why. Good, Eli. Good job. The real truth is Jen would literally try and hump my leg. Like a retarded Cujo dog. I have to pry her off. So we have news to get to, yeah? Let's go. Let's move the show. I want to get to my wife. Come on. Let's go.
Oh, my word. All right.
Enough rambling, Jen.
Okay, don't fucking interrupt then.
All right, I'm muting myself.
Okay.
Go.
The biggest yet least surprising news story of the week is the split of Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise in Scientology. Katie petitioned for divorce last week, ending her 5-year marriage to her high school crush. And for the record, if I had actually succeeded in marrying Ricky Schroeder, not even Scientology could have split us up. In the divorce papers, Katie stated their relationship had become irretrievably broken for more than 6 months. He controlled more than just her living arrangements, also what movies she could do. She wasn't allowed to do any sexually compromising scenes. Also in the news, Scott Peterson, not only...
Wait, hold on. Can we...
Life,
yes, oh, wait, you wanted to... Let's just talk for a second.
Right.
Vince,
don't rush through that too fast because, you know, I think the reason Jake's trying to get off of the show so fast is because it's the first time he and his wife have been clean for a week. So
here's the thing I want to say about Vince actually pointed this out, which is brilliant. Again, actors are all fucked up, like I said. Tom Cruise's last two marriages, because he's married to Mimi Rogers and Nicole Kidman, were also 5 years to the date as well. And there is a little talk in the community that, you know, he's a homosexual and that these women, these marriages are arranged and under contractual obligation. It's been a discussion, but I do find it strange.
Years.
All three ended at the 5th year. So there you go.
Hmm.
I'm just saying, but I'm not that there's anything wrong with it. But I think the real problem with their marriage is that Katie Holmes does not have a penis. That's what I'm going to go on.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with
okay.
you on that. He got his sperm inside her, but I don't think it was with his penis.
Yeah.
And she's trying to get sole custody of Surrey. Also in the news, Scott Peterson not only wasted 2 lives for his lusty affair, but is wasting more tax dollars by appealing his death sentence. He's convicted in 2004 of killing his wife, Lacey, an unborn son on Christmas Eve 2002, which people had issues with because it was an unborn child, but I totally get it, being pregnant. My husband will get the death penalty. If he kills me, I hope he knows that. His new team is claiming there were errors in the juror selections and errors in the penalty phase. So basically 10 years later, as with most death sentences here in California. We continue to pay to keep him alive and make appeals. Yes, I'd rather us be 100% right, but 10 years is too long. Somebody needs to pay off the guards and end it quickly.
I agree. And is Sandusky still alive?
Yeah, he's made it.
He's lasted longer than I thought he would.
For either one of us, too.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, this is... Go ahead.
No, I mean, Scott Pearson killed a baby, so that's in prison you get killed for that, too, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, a pregnant
wife.
But
they won't put either one of them in general population, so...
Oh. Well, there you go.
I love when the prisoners have a better sense of morality than our society does at times.
You should have called 2 weeks ago. We talked about that. I mean, in prison,
yeah.
Sandusky, if you just let it naturally happen, it will take care of itself. They get it.
I know. I was listening.
Yeah,
I know
why
you don't listen
him?
To the show.
We
don't have to lie.
Any one of them, why protect them? Well, and then there's people like this, Adam Lee Brown. You probably don't remember his name.
Wait, hold on. Could Scott Pearson claim postpartum depression, or that only works for you guys?
It only works for us.
Oh, okay.
Adam Lee Brown, you remember back in the early 90s, he was serving time. He got arrested for trying to infect children with HIV virus sexually infecting them with it. So
before
he was released, and he's been on parole. Oh, well, molesting them, raping them.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
And his
parole
officers lost contact with him until Sunday, where he was arrested for attacking a 10-year-old boy in a Wendy's bathroom and stabbing him. So the father could hear him screaming and couldn't even get into him. The door was all barricaded.
Because the token thing?
Horrifying.
This happened 11 years later when he got released after 11 years. After he had 40 counts of trying to infect children with HIV virus, and 11 years later... They let him out. This is why repeat sex offenders should be killed. We can't even let our children use a fucking bathroom. So.
Yeah, Wendy's?
Wendy's.
I'm not going to advocate killing, only because that's a different conversation, but I will say
mm-hmm.
this. Here's this guy 11 years later. All I'm saying is, if it wasn't a public defender, can we hold the attorney liable?
That's a good
can
question.
We talk about it?
Well, or the parole officers, the county that was in...
Well,
the county that was in charge of him lost contact with him. They're the ones that should be responsible.
Again, that's hard to keep track of those people. Having been on the other side of the system, it's very hard to keep track of parolees at times.
Yeah.
Then you just, no, that's why
so
you
just
kill
them.
You just you just kill them. Or you know what you do? Again, you put them in Gen Pop.
Yeah.
Seriously, you go into prison, like when they're out and they're working out, you go, listen, everybody, see this guy over here? He just raped and infected 10-year-old boys with AIDS. He'll be here for a couple of years, and right now we're going to let him go. He'll be walking around. Have at him. That's all you got to do. There's nothing wrong with that. Anyway, what's next, Jen?
All right, last but not least
Can I just point
Roseanne.
Out that there were more comments about me being depressing by talking about how much acting sucks, and none so far about a guy raping kids and giving him AIDS?
That's wrong.
Yeah, well, allegedly this time. Roseanne, Jake and Michael's mom, actress, comedian extraordinaire, and presidential candidate, is to be roasted on Comedy Central. I think most of us have heard about this. But it's taping in L.A. on August 4th and will air, this is what people have been asking, at 10 p.m. Eastern time on August 12th. So your mom has now joined the likes of Pam Anderson and Flava Flav.
And I don't think it should be called a roast. I think since my mother should be called a luau, and they should make her bite onto an apple. That was going to be one of my jokes. See?
They need Jake and I there.
Yeah, do you have one that you can give up right now, Michael?
Oh, no, I don't want to give up too
He'll
much.
He'll be too
I'm holding out hope. I'm not going to be too nice.
Give me one
guys,
bad joke.
Are you guys going?
We have not been invited yet.
No,
nope,
I got invited.
Just you got invited?
No.
Figured. That's how this town does work.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I
wish. If my favorite show is to watch roast, and your mom, that would be my favoritist.
Well, Jen made a good point, Michael, which I thought was genius, although my mom blocks her, was somebody had written an article just casually saying, Roseanne's going to be roasted. She can dish it, but can she take it? You know, one of those things. And Jen made sure to retweet that because, you know, she was blocked by my mother. So let me ask you a question. So we've all seen the blockings that happen on Twitter. Do you think mom's going to be able to handle a roast? My mom? I shouldn't call her mom. That's creepy.
I think she will be able to handle it at the time. I think some of it will bother her later, which is normal for people.
Right.
Yeah, expect the block later, everybody that roasts her.
No,
we're
also doing a
fan roast. I'm not a part of it because I'm not stupid. But there is a fan roast.
I'm not doing that.
No, I'm not doing it. But I will say this. If the roast does happen to all the people who know you are, if there's a good joke or two, I will play it on this show. That much I can promise. I don't know if that helps because there's only 15 people that listen, but I will play it on this show. But I'm not going to be a part of it. Okay?
Chicken
just
shit.
Just for the record. I'm not a chicken. Well, yeah, I am a chicken shit. I am. I am a chicken shit. I admit it. All right.
Yeah, there's nothing below the belt from what I've
nothing
heard from others.
Nothing below the
belt? No, there's a lot below the belt. Are you kidding? There's
that,
like a
I'm not talking
grimace.
About Jake either.
Got grimace ass. Okay. Anything else, anybody?
Oh, that's all I got. Thank you so much, Michael. I have one quick question before we say bye to him. Just what have
seven
you done
inches.
With law enforcement? That's what,
what?
You know, my. What has Michael? I want to know what you've done in law enforcement, Michael, because you've talked about it a few times.
I used to volunteer. I did a lot of ride-alongs, and then I was I worked bail bonds and used to be a part of a group that went and picked people up, bail jumpers. So.
Nice. Well, like I said, and I mean it, so I'm saying it on air, you ever want to, you can come out here. Don't say where. But you can come out
I
here and do ride along with my husband, and I know he's supposed to take you two to shoot him up in the forest soon, so we'll get that going.
Yeah, as long, you're not going to be there, though, right, Jen? Because I'm not going if you're there.
Just shut the fuck up.
he's afraid you're going to have shooting.
You're even afraid to meet me at the police department?
Actually, the police department, possibly.
Okay.
If you're in one of those Hannibal Lecter things where your hands are tied and you got that eating mask and somebody's chained off your groin so you don't hunt me, then yeah.
You should be, ew. You should be more afraid of my son.
No, I don't. I like. No, I'm not afraid of children. I'm
okay.
Here for the children. That's why I do this radio show. I do it for the children. All right, everybody.
All right.
I
thank
think,
you so
oh.
much, Michael.
Hold on.
Thank
that's
you.
That's the wrong close.
What do you call him, Michael, Mikey, Mike,
I
Fish?
I can't stop it. Oh, I made a new closing song. God dang it. I can't find it. Ah, fuck it. Who cares? No one listens to this stupid show anyway. All right, everybody. I can't find it. I'll play it next week. Thank you, Michael, for being my guest. Always a pleasure. Why don't you blow off that charity thing tonight and come watch the fight? Those kids will be fine tomorrow.
Do you hear
that
him?
Is crazy.
They'll still have whatever diseases they'll have tomorrow. I mean, they'll be there next
wow.
week.
Oh.
All right. On that note, love you all. Have a good week.
Bye. Bye, Michael.
Bye.